There has been a lot of debate around the issues of integrating disaster risk reduction, climate change and sustainable development. And if we look at it historically, disaster management has been about responding to emergencies and recovery action. And this is changing since actually many years back, but there's still a lot to do towards a perspective in which we take into account risk from a preventive point of view. And that's very much what Agenda 2030 is about. Risk needs to be mainstreamed in development action, and thus we will get more resilient societies if we do development in a sustainable way.
I suppose one big problem, though, is that for all these things, it's a little intangible to many people, isn't it? We're talking about preventing something that hasn't yet happened, disasters that haven't yet happened, global warming that hasn't yet happened, or although it's happening. So how do we make this real for people?
That's a very good question. We need to go down to concrete local experiences. And I'll give you an example. What do we mean by a reactive response to disasters? There is a bit of prevention. We build a dike to prevent flooding of an area. But we need to take into account, why did populations settle in an area that was at risk for floodings? These might be poor populations, vulnerable populations that have a lack of income, etc. and so forth.
And they had no real choice.
Which are forced or choose to live perhaps closer to an urban center, but in an unsafe area. So the question is, why do we have these populations? Why don't we address this underlying vulnerability and underlying risk factor? So this is a structural development problem. A second question we could pose in the same example is, why aren't we enforcing land use planning or development of land use planning and then enforcing it? These are the factors that we need to take into account in a much more concrete way. And that is done by collaboration between different communities of practice that today are working very much in silos. So there are many examples of good collaboration. You have it in the water sector, you have it in the urban planning, agriculture is another example, but there are many, many more things that we could do to have a preventive approach.
Politicians inevitably think fairly short term, so it's a paradox in a way, isn't it, of the whole development agenda, trying to make leaders on a local and national level act in the best interests of their own people in the long term.
That's a very good point, the time horizon. Because yes, if we want to build more resilient societies, this is a long-term process. And it might not give political points if you don't have a ribbon to cut because you did some dike, for instance, or another public work that you can show off. But there is a change in this. Also, I remember a couple of years ago when we were trying to bring in the long-term thinking in the climate change debate, saying what is happening in the electricity, hydroelectrical sector, what is happening in agriculture in 10, 20, 30 years, and what kind of investments do we need to be doing now so we get more resilient sectors. And a couple of years ago, the hardest part to have this conversation was at the political level. There was no politician that wanted to speak on a horizon that was beyond 4 years, in which they would not longer be present. But now you can see there's definitely a will to have serious conversations on long-term sustainability and long-term resilience of different sectors and societies.
So since the Sendai framework and the Paris Climate Change Agreement and the Sustainable Development Goals, do you think that there's been a bit of a paradigm shift that you can point to, you know, here at this conference even?
I think the international conversations and the agreements we have are definitely pushing this agenda forward and the discussions. I mean, it's been such a participatory approach for developing these action agenda. So that is definitely pushing it. But also, reality is catching up with it. So there is a need, there's a more sense of urgency right now because we cannot continue in a business as usual.
Infrastructure is fraying, people can actually see the pitfalls of not investing more in this kind of whole development agenda.
I would say that we still have a little bit to go because finance ministries, they need to finance tangible development work.
And there's reluctance.
And it might be a bit difficult to say, I'm financing this because this will give me credits in 10 or 20 years. But we're getting there.